Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming.
That golden voice that you are hearing right now belongs to our next guest. If you've ever been to a Cubs game, I'm sure you have heard his amazing rendition of the national anthem, and no one will ever forget his rendition of the national anthem before game six of the NLCS in 2016. When the Cubs beat the Dodgers to advance to the World Series. It's John Vincent. Welcome to 720 WGN, my friend.
How you doing, my brother? How's everything?
Everything's great. How was your New Year's?
Hey, great New Year's. I fell asleep before midnight for the first time in 25 years.
What? You didn't even make it to the ball drop?
No, I fell asleep probably around, about 11 o'clock, if that, maybe 10:50.
You're a singer. You didn't have a gig on New Year's Eve. I would think that would be your sweet spot.
I did. I had a couple, but I decided not to after making this whole change to the new place and everything. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take New Year's Eve off this year and just kind of do something totally different. And that was just stay in the whole night.
There you go. Johnny Vincent is our guest, and if you have seen him, you go, boy, it sounds familiar. Yes, you've seen the Cubs games, and you worked at Ditka's restaurant for how many years, John?
18 years, since 2001. So almost 19 years. I was there for, I left there, I believe, my last show I did was November of this past year of 2019.
And I've always said that John Vincent show at Ditka's was the greatest gig. I always hated to tell people about it because I'm like, oh, that's my secret spot. I would always say, if you want to take the lady out on a date, whatever, take him to Ditka's, get yourself a seat upstairs on the weekends. John Vincent will be singing, and you know, hopefully your girlfriend or your wife won't pass their phone number to him at the end of the night.
Stop it.
So, how did you get the Ditka's gig?
I was singing. I was a recruiter in accounting and finance. I played a year of pro ball in Germany back in the day in '95. Now I was a recruiter in accounting and finance, and I started messing around doing Sinatra songs. And I started out at Rosebud and then Nono Pino's. And Coach Ditka and Mrs. Ditka heard about me. Mrs. Ditka gave me an audition, a cappella. I did New York, New York. They gave me a four-month deal, year to year, and then they gave me pretty much a lifetime contract for 18 years I was there. And decided to move on this past year to start the new show that you saw and came to a couple weeks ago.
You say that you used to play some pro ball, from pro football, and did you ever a formal singing training?
No.
So how did you happen into becoming a singer?
You know, I went to go see Sinatra when I was in college. One of my very close friends, his grandfather got us a box at the United Center, and I never, you know, my parents were born in Italy. So I never really listened to Sinatra growing up. I listened to Italian music and things like that. And what happened was I kind of stumbled into Sinatra in college and started listening to that. And I'm like, you know what? I like this. So kept listening to it, and then saw him live at the United Center in 1992 or 93, I want to say.
Okay.
And I fell in love with his music, fell in love with his voice, the whole thing. Started singing along with it. People said, hey, you kind of sound like him. I'm like, ah, and then one thing led to another, and I got lucky.
So the love of Sinatra came from seeing him live.
Yeah.
It's something that you weren't really into growing up, even though your parents were Italian.
My favorite music.
Your favorite what?
My favorite music was 80s music. It was, you know, top 40.
Okay.
I was growing up and I was a kid, I was listening to, you know, all the 80s stuff. Everything that you could think of back in the day. If you go to the 80s channel now, that's what you know.
So had you gone to see Duran Duran in concert, we might be hearing you singing Hungry Like the Wolf around town instead of New York, New York.
That's
so you have you were at Ditka's for 18 wonderful years,
yes.
And you just recently left Ditka's. As a matter of fact, right around the time you announced you were leaving, it looked like Ditka's was going to close. Because it looked like the hotel there, what's the hotel that's attached to it?
The Tremont.
It looked like they weren't going to renew the lease. And I said, see, boy, John Vincent leaves, they got to close the whole place down. But no, it is still open. It's going to be open for at least another year or so.
Yeah, and it's a great restaurant. You know, it's great food, and there's great people that work there. And you know, obviously the biggest connection I have with that is Coach and Mrs. Ditka. They're like second parents. So, you know, they're everything to me. So that's a special place in my heart forever.
I want to talk to you about your connection and your special relationship with Coach Ditka. We have a quick break that we need to take, but when we come back, I want to ask you about your relationship with Coach Ditka. I want to ask you how he's doing, and I want to ask you if the coach knows that you're a huge Green Bay Packers fan. We'll find all this out in just a minute. John Vincent is our guest. Back with more with John in just a second here on 720 WGN.
So I fade the fun.
720 WGN, Ken Smith with you until 11 p.m. That voice you're hearing there is the voice of John Vincent. Johnny, welcome to 720 WGN. Always great to talk to you, my friend.
Always great talking to you, too.
And you were at Ditka's for 18 years, and you have quite a special relationship with the coach. First of all, how's the coach doing? I know he's got to be in his 80s. How's he doing?
He's doing good. You know, he turned 80 in October 18th of this past year, so he's 80 years old, and he's doing good. I talked to him. When did I talk to him? 2 days ago. Talked to him on Christmas, and I talked to him like two days ago. Also, he was down in Florida. He's enjoying the nice weather, and yeah, no complaints.
He's almost like a father to you, it seems like, or you're like a son to him. That seems to be, would I be seeing that correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what Coach has done for me to help me in my career and everything, I can never, you know, repay him. I tell him that all the time. I text him probably every other day. And, you know, when you came to my show, you saw that the video, you know, the new show we have, every song has a different video to it. And that one is dedicated my way, is dedicated to my my father and Coach Ditka.
And I bet you have some Ditka stories. Have you ever been to Vegas with him?
I have.
And
Coach,
what's that like?
Oh my God! He's just one of the most generous, nicest people you've ever been around. And Coach is. He's just good. People don't see the soft side of him where people come up for autographs and he'll just, I've never seen him turn down an autograph unless we're walking in a crowd of like hundreds and hundreds of people and he just has to get to the other spot and he didn't have time to.
Right.
I mean it. I've seen him be around other celebrities where they said no and he signed autographs.
What would you say would be the one thing that you know about Mike Ditka that the general public wouldn't see about Mike Ditka?
His generosity. His generosity towards people, his loyalty. It's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. It really is. It's really something that's contagious. And it's you know, he tells me all the time, you know, loyalty is everything, Johnny, and that's what you should base your life on, is loyalty and friendship. And one of the biggest things he always says is, you know, you can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you react to it. So, you know, from somebody who struggles with, you know, depression, anxiety, and obsessive compulsive disorder, he was somebody that helped me tremendously with a very positive influence, and always taking things and being extremely positive with them. You know, coach always put things head on, and he said, okay, this is what I got to do. And it's pretty amazing how he is.
Where do you think he got that from? Was that from football? Was that from his parents? What do you think?
I know his mom and dad were really great people. I didn't get to meet his father because he passed before. I sang at his mom's funeral in Aliquippa. She was a wonderful woman. Very, very, both very strong people. And I also know that Tom Landry and George Halas were very important to Coach. But Tom Landry resurrected, he'll say it, he resurrected Coach's career after Philadelphia and got him into coaching. And Tom Landry was a big, big part of Coach Ditka's life.
I know that in 85 when the Bears beat Tom Landry's Cowboys,
yeah,
was that 44 to nothing? And yep, it seemed that he took no joy in that whatsoever.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And you know, that defense was so good, nobody could stop it. You
right.
know, it was just like, that was it. You know, nobody could stop it. And that 85 Bears, like we all know, is the best defense ever. And, you know, 44 to nothing going into Dallas and doing that. You know, Coach Landry told him, he got a really good team there. And he respected him, and he respected Coach Landry, both the same. They had a very special relationship.
And Mike Ditka, the first person to win a NFL championship and as a player, as an assistant coach, and as a head coach, won a Super Bowl because he won a Super Bowl playing tight end for the Cowboys. He won a Super Bowl as an assistant coach with the Cowboys, and of course he won the Super Bowl, the 85 Bears, as the coach of the Bears.
The other guy?
Who's the who would be the other guy?
Ditka Tom was, Flores.
Tom Flores. Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Same thing. Player, assistant coach, and a head coach.
Now, does Coach Ditka know that you're a huge Green Bay Packer fan? And how do you end up being a Green Bay Packer fan working for Mike Ditka and living in Chicago?
You know, that happened before I started working at Ditka. That happened, you know, I probably became a Packer fan in the late 80s, early 90s, right around when Coach was getting let go and everything, and it was weird. I didn't know him at the time. Yeah, he always respected the Green Bay Packers, and he always respected how the rivalry was, and he would tell me great stories about Lombardi and Nitschke and how they played against each other and how, you know, tough it was, and, you know, how much respect that he had for them. You know, I think that, you know, I was thinking, a lot of people don't know that, you know, George Halas saved the Green Bay Packers. You know, George Halas, back in the day, Green Bay was suffering financially, and George Halas, you know, made sure everything was okay, and it worked out that the Packers were around. So I think the NFL is much better having the Bears and the Packers in the NFL. And I like the Chicago Bears. Like, I like the team that you guys have, and the team that's there is, you know, I met Cody White here and became friends with him, and he's such a good guy, and you know, just the people there with Coach Nagy. I met him at a Cubs game. Really good guy. I love to see the Bears succeed because it's good for the city. The fans are, you know, Chicago has the best people around. And I'm biased because I grew up, born and raised on the south side of Chicago by Archer and Cicero. But I love Chicago. It's home. It's my hometown. And, you know, my mom and dad were born in Italy, and they met in Chicago. So all my relatives are from Chicago. Everybody, my dad came here on December 24th, 1960. You know, he came by boat, New York City in 1960 on December 20th. 4 days later, he made it to Chicago, where the rest of his family, his 10 brothers and sisters were. And like I said, we grew up on the south side right by Midway Airport.
Wow. And now look at and what's your father's name?
My dad's name is Vince, and everybody's like, your dad's name's Vince Vincent. And I'm like, no, my real name's Giovanni Vincenzo Pierrazio. My dad's Vince Pierrazio. So I put my chance, and, you know, when I started singing, a guy goes, hey, I want to make a business card. And I said, okay. He goes, what's your name? And I told him. He's like, that's not going to work. It's too long. I said, okay. He goes, what's your middle name? I go, Vincent. He goes, there you go.
And there you have it. Yeah, you would have needed to print it on both sides of the card if they had put your legal name on there.
I know. It took my mom like 6 months to learn how to spell it after she married my dad.
So not only might you see John Vincent singing at a Cubs game, you might hear him singing the anthem at a Green Bay Packers game. Where are some of the places that you have sung the national anthem?
Well, the top two have been Game 6 of the NLCS against the Dodgers when the Cubs, we clinched to go to the World Series. That was just an amazing atmosphere. Mr. Ricketts and Mr. Crane Kenny let me, you know, party on the field with the team afterwards, which was just such an unbelievable feeling growing up a Cubs fan. And to be able to do that, you know, be on Wrigley, it was just awesome.
By the way, John, I don't mean to cut you off, but you're breaking all the stereotypes. So you're from Chicago, you're a Packers fan, you're from the South Side, and you're a Cubs fan.
Yeah.
You're gonna tell me now that you don't like beef sandwiches.
I love beef sandwiches.
Okay, good. All right.
You know, because you get older, like I said, I want to see the Bears succeed. It's good for the city of Chicago, you know? You want to see everybody succeed. You want to see. You just, as you get older, you start reflecting and you start saying, okay, I just, you know, I like the competition, the people having fun with it and enjoying it. Hey, I got a lot of family members who are Sox fans, you know, growing up. We're almost divided. A lot of cousins are Sox fans. A lot of cousins are about 30 of us. There's about half who are Sox fans, half who are Cubs fans. And we all grew up on the South Side.
Yeah, it's funny. After the Cubs won the World Series in 2016, I started seeing all these people wearing Cubs hats on the South Side. I guess they're all closet Cub fans after all those years. They finally decided to show it in public.
No, we're around the same age. You know, growing up on the South Side, Channel 9, as a kid, it was on like 70% of the time during the day.
Oh, well, you... people ask me all the time how you end up being. People go, "Are you a Cubs fan or a Sox fan?" And I'm like, "I'm a fan of both." They're like, "You can't be a fan of both. You're from the South Side." And I go, "Listen, I said when I was growing up, you watch Bozo Circus. You watch Ray Rayner in the morning. You watch Bozo Circus. You come home from school, and the TV was on Channel 9. And what was on was Cubs games."
Yeah, absolutely. And until 1988 when they get lights, you know, so we're kids and all the home games are day games. A lot of the away games are day games. So as a kid, I remember going to Wrigley for the first time in 1979. You know, I remember Barry Foote. I remember Jody Davis. I remember, you know, I got one of the best treats I ever had was this past summer. I got to sing My Way with Gary Matthews, the Sarge.
You
know,
oh, nice.
We were doing one of the radio shows, and Chicago's lucky. We got great owners and Jerry Reinsdorf and Mr. Ricketts and Mr. Wirtz and the McCaskies. You got historic franchises, and you got, you know, the Bulls and, you know, with Michael Jordan. I mean, just the GOAT, the greatest of all time. How lucky were we to experience six championships? Those were like some of the best days ever. we get to see a Cubs World Series win. You see a Sox World Series win. The Blackhawks win 3 championships. The Bulls, you know, the Bears got a Super Bowl in 85, and, you know, I'm rooting for the Bears to win another Super Bowl. The city of Chicago deserves it. The fans deserve it. They're loyal fans. The city of Chicago is exactly what you think it is. Midwestern, down-to-earth, good people. And it's a blue-collar town, and that's what I love about Chicago, and that's what I love about the people of Chicago. They're good people, and they're solid.
Well, you got that right, and John Vincent, you're good people, and you're solid. You touched upon it a little bit earlier, talking about depression, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that, if you can hold on for one more segment. I want to talk to John Vincent about, and you listen to him now, and you go, he's you know, a big teddy bear. He's gregarious, and he's larger than life, but he also suffers from depression. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that when we get back. This is 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Ken Smith with you until 11 p.m. That's when Nick DiGilio comes in. Chatting with John Vincent. John Vincent, who sang at Mike Ditka's restaurant for almost 19 years. You've certainly heard him sing the national anthem at different Cubs games. And you've just now left. You've just now left Ditka's after 19 years. So what's next for John Vincent? What's the new gig?
Well, you saw the new show where it has a, every song has a video description behind it where I'm singing. And when you came that one night, each song has a story to it. Like My Way, I showed the video of me and my father singing My Way. And, you know, it starts with Coach when he had his exit speech with the Bears. And he goes, you know, regrets. I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. So we got some really great people with a company called Trouble Monsters that are doing the lighting, the sound, the audio, everything. We had Pat Tomasulo open up, Ryan Dempster open up, a couple other different performers, a couple of singers from The Voice who are outstanding. I don't know who opened up the night you came by. I think it was Tomasulo.
Yeah, right? No, it was Pat. It was great. I brought Pat up on stage. It was great to see him. I hadn't seen him in a while. He was very funny that night, by the way.
He's hilarious. And so now we're going to have a place right off Michigan Avenue by the river called Vince's, and it's going to be like a digital speakeasy. You end up in old Las Vegas, but I want it to be like something that has those really rich, deep colors, like back in those booths back in the day when you saw Sinatra singing and Dean Martin and all that. And you walk in, but it's, again, a digital speakeasy where it has that new feel to it, with how we did with the videos and the digital screens with the sounds, with the sights that connect with the sounds. Everything that I sing along to has a description, and you know, that video plays to each and every song. And I definitely want to bring other entertainers in there and showcase people's talents and give people a place to sing and, you know, get their talents out there and show them, you know, who they are, because there's so much talent in the city. You know, we've had so many great singers come out of the city of Chicago, you know, from Kanye West to Common to Chance to Jennifer Hudson, and so many great singers from our city. There's so many more out there. And, I mean, there's just so many good voices that people don't know about.
Yeah, and the show that I saw you just recently did, a whole series of Christmas shows. So when will this next venture be taking flight?
Well, we want to get it open by Valentine's Day and, you know, get it ready then. If it doesn't happen right around then we're going to go do the Valentine's Day show again at 365 right across the street from Wrigley and do that same type of thing, you know.
Like a pop-up, yeah.
Like a pop-up. But we're open Valentine's Day. If not, Valentine's Day, early March.
Excellent. John Vincent is our guest, and you've been listening to John talk about, you know, working with Mike Ditka and Mike Ditka being a father figure to him and partying on the field with the Cubs after they clinched the National League pennant in 2016. And I know that you even got a World Series ring from the Ricketts, and a real World Series ring, like not one of those fake ones, a real one.
Yep.
So you got to be thinking.
I text Mr. Ricketts and I text Mr. Kenny. And I just thank him all the time. Like, you know, like let's be honest. Nobody gives a crap if I'm singing the national anthem. And that's a true statement. You know, people are going to see the game. And whoever sings the national anthem is singing the national anthem. If you said, hey, there's no Cubs game today and John Vincent's going to sing the national anthem, there'll be two people there, my mother and my father, right? If the national anthem, the Cubs are playing, the place is packed. So I know my spot. They didn't have to give me a ring. I didn't deserve a ring. But I thank them every day because as a Cubs fan, that's like, you know, if I'm ever homeless, underneath, you'll see me underneath the bridge with that ring on. Because I'm just appreciative. I can't believe it. I can't believe it, being a Cubs fan and letting that happen. I remember being at Gas City when I was a kid waiting in line to get an autograph by Bill Buckner and Dave Kingman. You know, I remember that. My favorite Cubs player of all time is Andre Dawson. And I got to meet Andre now so many times because just being able to hang out with these ex-Cubs players and Billy Williams and Fergie Jenkins and all these good, I mean, Rick Sutcliffe, all these guys from my childhood and before, it's amazing.
Well, just don't take that ring on the L, okay? Don't ride the red line with your World Series ring on. Just some advice from me to you, John.
I did. I'm not going to lie to you. I did.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
You just for fun?
Yeah. I jumped on by Chicago and the red line stopped there and went up to Wrigley. And I had it on.
Wow.
I was going to Dick's to go through the anthem, so I'm like, we can take the red line, and yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you made it there in one piece. But we're talking about, you know, how you've done all these things, and it seems like you're on top of the world. But you've been very open and honest about your bouts with depression. By the way, if people want to follow you on social media. How do they, do you have Twitter, Instagram?
On Instagram and Twitter, it's John Vincent 72. On Facebook, it's just John Vincent. You know, a few years ago, I struggled, and I was diagnosed with OCD at the age of 17 or 18. And I go to a fantastic doctor by the name of John Grant at the University of Chicago, who is unbelievable. I just love the guy. And then I've gone for ketamine treatments, Larry Wirt. And I posted Larry Wirt and Dr. Paul Nandra saved my life. Larry Wirt told me about ketamine treatments. Dr. Grant says, I think that's a good idea, Johnny. You should try it. And then Dr. Nandra saved my life. You know, it's 80% cure with depression, with OCD. It's not that strong, but, you know, if you're not feeling depressed, you can handle your OCD a lot better. You know, I came out and told people, and my parents and some very close people close to me were kind of like, hey, you know, did you really want to come out and say on live, Facebook Live, that you tried to attempt suicide? And I did. I did. It scared the crap out of me to do it. And I was making videos of it, because I wanted to help somebody, just one person. And I said, I'll go to any school anywhere for free and talk about bullying, because I was bullied when I was a kid. So I kept doing the video, didn't like it, so I just said, screw it. I pressed live, and I said, you know what, I attempted suicide. And I did, and I was too chicken to go through with it. I almost, and I heard a lot of people who attempt suicide accidentally go through with it. What happened was the belt around my neck locked up, and I got really scared. And I tried desperately to get it off. I did. And then I yanked it again really hard and almost hurt my voice. And I was just ready to check out. I'm like, I'm done. And
what,
the reason I
what happened that got you to that point, John?
Oh, God. Just, you know, people think of depression or like snap out of it. Just, you know, hey, be happy. If it was that easy, you can just, you wouldn't be that way. But you get to a point where it feels like this wet blanket is coming over you, and you just feel like, what am I doing? What's this all about? None of this matters. Like, you just, whatever it is, if it's, you just feel lost. And that's what happens with depression. And when you have anxiety and you get those two things together, it really is a struggle. And I just want people to know, don't be ashamed of it. Like, it's just like if somebody has diabetes or cancer or heart disease or whatever. You know, people talk openly about physical illnesses, we still have this stigma with mental illness. So I said, you know what? If I have to be the one that gets ridiculed, or if I have to look weak or whatever, vulnerable, that's fine. If I was 20-some years old, Ken, I ain't going to lie to you, I probably wouldn't have said anything. But because I'm in my 40s and you start caring less and less about what people think of you, you say, okay, let me see if I can help people. Because the only thing that matters in life is helping people. The rest is just nonsense. It's just noise. None of this matters but love. None of it. None of it. We all are born. We all die. It all happens so quick. I just like to see people happy. And some people look at that and they're like, oh, wait a minute. What? No, I mean, it's why would you want to be going through life miserable? So, you know, if you're suffering, go find help. Go get help. Dr. Nandra with Chicago IV Solutions saved my life. But, you know, I tell people, try anything. Go to a psychiatrist. Go to a therapist. Go to anything that can help you. Meditate. Do yoga. Do whatever helps you. And keep trying to fight it. You know, you're worth it. You're worth it. You're not, you know, don't commit. I'm so happy I didn't kill myself. And I would tell people, don't do it. You will get better. You will get better. You can get better. You just got to keep trying. You got to keep trying. You know, you're worth it, and keep trying.
Well, John, I'm so happy that you didn't go through with it, and I know that there are thousands of people out there that are happy that you didn't go through with it. Very quickly, we've got less than a minute left. You say you're doing ketamine treatments? Very in 30 seconds, can you explain what's going on there?
Yes, it's an IV solution. You do it for about 40 minutes. It gets transfused, and it's slight hallucinogenic. And you see a lot of people, it helps with Jerry Azuma does it for migraines. It's ketamine. It does some structuring in the brain where it helps with PTSD, anxiety, depression, and so many other things. It's an amazing breakthrough, and it saved my life. It really did.
Wow. Well, that's incredible, John. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on. I wish you the best. I hope this new gig that you have, I hope that it gets started up by Valentine's Day. If it doesn't, I know that you'll be doing, you'll do another pop-up across from Wrigley Field. Sorry to see Joe Maddon go.
Yeah, you know, I'm happy that he's happy. He's going to the Angels and everything.
He's going back home.
Yeah, he's going back home. I'm going to see him in the beginning of January. I'm doing a show at his house in Tampa for a charity event, and then I got to do another show in West Palm the weekend after. But you know, hey, we got David Ross, who is a great, great guy, a really great story. I'm singing at Dickens one night. Ross just walks in and says, "Johnny, you know, I got to fly out and do a thing for ESPN tomorrow, but I just wanted to come in and say hello." So it's just a great organization, a great people, and I hope David does fantastic and really does well with the Cubs.
Well, John Vincent, I'll see you around the ballpark.
Oh, my brother, I love you. Thank you for coming to the show. You made my night.
Oh, it's my pleasure, brother, always. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
John Vincent, he is a Chicago treasure, and if you haven't got a chance to see him live, definitely go out and see him live. You will not regret it. Coming up next, do you like bacon? Oh, do I have the guest for you. He's the creator of Bacon Fest. Seth Zur is going to be with us in just a few minutes. Kent Smith with you until 11. This is 720 WGN.